and doing what those bands did that I heard about. So we printed up like 25,000 on our own and just gave them out like everywhere. Like I would fly to like London and go to like the parking lot of a Cannibal Corpse show,
dude,
with like 1,000 CDs and just done. And
take that.
He's not, yeah, he's not lying.
I'm not lying.
Dude, back in the day, so in
fucking real.
We go to
use EMG pickups because they help you get the heaviest tone possible. Head over to emgpickups.com and use my promo code HEAVY at checkout and get 15% off. And then once you write the heaviest song of all time, head over to distrokid.com/VIP/Garza and save 30% off your membership to get all your songs on all streaming platforms. And now to the heaviest podcast of all time. Is this a live photo? It's a live photo. Boom. Straight to YouTube.
Straight to the tube.
For the gram?
No. I just wanted it for personal stuff, actually.
No, that's for your Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook. Yeah. MySpace.
Sure, my MySpace.
No, dude, MySpace. No, you know what I heard yesterday? That Facebook is, like, coming back in, like, a big way.
I've heard that, too, actually.
Interesting.
So this is, like, it's kind of been brewing, but yesterday I was just browsing, like, Gary Vee stuff.
That's where I heard it.
He's pops. Yeah. He is like, I try to avoid him, and he literally just pops up on my phone. I was, you know, you're just browsing. I'm like Gary Vee. I mean, he seems like a great, cool guy.
Yes. Well, okay. So there, Gary Vee, I think, is misunderstood.
Why?
Because you know when you get like these influencer types or these like quote unquote self help types, a lot of people think that they're scammers. And a lot of them are.
Well, yeah, exactly.
But Gary Vee is actually a legit business person, legit investor, like just a legit powerhouse of a dude. And the social media thing is something he just does on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like his marketing agency and his wine business, all that, that's all real. So he's not full of shit. And he doesn't spend all day doing social media either. He has this huge team, like 30 people or something on his social media team.
Dang, imagine that.
So, yeah, so that's how so much content comes out. And also, I know people who have, like, worked with him, and the thing that I think people don't understand about people like that is he's wired. He is wired for, like, 19 hours a day. Like, the dude is going for, like, 19 hours a day at, like, this level of energy the whole time. Like he is that person that you see on those videos. It's a little freakish apparently, but it's real. It's not an act.
I wonder where he gets the energy from.
Exactly. And how long can he do that?
Dude, he's been doing it for like decades.
Yeah he's been going on for a while, right?
Well, now we've said his name about 100 times, so I'm sure it's going to be in all of our feeds.
Oh, we're all fucked now.
He's already in my feed.
Dude, I'm trying to avoid the guy. And it just pops up, like, literally in my face. His face is in my face. I'm like, dude, this is...
But what do you mean with the Facebook thing?
What was it?
Like, it comes back or something like this, you said?
Well, so it's been, like, falling off among, I guess, younger people. You know, if you've noticed, Facebook has become like the place for like old people to say crazy.
Like us.
or older. Oh, yeah. Our parents.
Older,
yeah. Yeah,
oh,
to
yeah,
say,
parents. Exactly.
Yeah, it's like a cesspool for like
parent
older
book.
People.
Yep.
Yeah, and they were not getting younger people. Like they were getting like very low numbers of, you know, teenagers and early 20s. And it was like falling off a cliff and seems to be coming back. I don't know why, but it seems to be coming
MySpace.
Back.
I want MySpace back with the pages where you could upload like one or two songs. And that was
scroll
the
and have your one song that you would highlight. So
it was perfect.
I love it.
So we got some stats here from Jay. Facebook users in the United States as of August 2023, age group 23.6% is 25 to 34. 18% is 18 and 24. That's actually a lot.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. And 3.4% is 13 to 17. Interesting.
Yeah, that's the group that they want, apparently.
Oh,
the youngest.
Nobody likes the old people.
Yeah.
No.
No. Interesting.
You can't do syncopated dances on Facebook, so people don't want to use it.
Also, like people haven't been sending me like these. Oh, what is it, like Facebook? So, for example, I'm looking for a Mesa cab, and it's driving me insane. I can't find anything. People have been sending me Facebook groups of people selling amps. Mm-hmm. I was like, so it's kind of been creeping back into my life without trying.
That marketplace.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've bought a lot on that marketplace. Ooh,
that marketplace is it's an interesting place. You can find
anything.
Interesting things and interesting people.
Oh, yeah. Fuck.
Yeah, it reminds me of, what was that site? Man, I'm blanking.
Craigslist.
Craigslist, yeah. Craigslist. You know how dark Craigslist got? Does it still exist?
I think it.
I don't know.
In the States, for us, we have different things.
No, it still exists.
It still exists.
Oh,
it's
still going?
Do not contact me.
I didn't know it was still going, really?
Yeah.
I guess so. I guess it's.
Misconnections. Yeah, that's the one.
There it is. Do not contact me with unsolicited.
Yep.
I was big on Craigslist, buying all the gear off there. I was selling all my shit there and buying shit there.
Yeah, so I think Facebook Marketplace, the idea is to, you know, be a better version.
Oh, yeah.
But, what
the hell? There we go.
No, click it because it always says do not contact me at the bottom.
Oh,
he didn't write it. Wow, usually they always put.
So someone put up an ad looking for a lady to, you could use your imagination, ride off her to L.A. to L.A.? Huntington Beach? Oh, wow.
Or you could just do it in the car.
It's going strong.
Sounds very good. Sketchy.
No. In good shape is definitely the most important part of that.
In good shape, exactly.
These are the things that...
Meeting up with nobody in shape?
Hey, these are the things that you want to know before you're about to jam.
Yes.
You want to know what's out there, right?
I think it's important.
Yeah.
I think it matters. You got to do your due diligence.
Dude, it's an honor to sit down with your whole band, minus one, correct?
Minus one.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for making time.
Thank you for having us.
Of course, thanks.
We have people from all over the world, correct?
Yeah, like two Austrians, so we are the Austrian group.
Nice.
Yeah. Here's America.
Yeah. Austrian coalition.
I like how we segregated it right off the bat here.
Can
we
get you? Like Europe.
You guys
Europe.
Share a mic. I love that. Like, yeah. We're going to put them together. Yeah, yeah. They're kind of the same. So.
Dude, God, like, put like, you guys just knew to sit at the same area.
Yeah,
that's
you
cool.
Do.
That's sick. Can we do a quick intro to names?
Sure. I start. I'm Krim, and I play drums.
I'm Raphael, and I play guitars.
I'm David, I play bass.
Sean, and do vocals.
Ayal, guitar.
Sick. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
So the other longest standing member is you, right, Sean?
Correct, yeah.
Is it kind of a trip that you literally like years ago you were working at Best Buy.
Yeah.
Then fast forward, you buy the CD at Best Buy.
Yep.
Fast forward 10 more years, now you're in a band.
It's pretty crazy. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
He actually... has the story of quitting a job to go on tour like 2 days later. Like I put him in the hot seat because we had actually another Sean that was vocalist for a little while and he quit and we had like 2 days before tour. Like I think it was full US and Canada with Dark Funeral in 2007.
Yeah.
And I just called him and asked him. Yeah. And he had to quit his job and just make that decision, which, I like that. I admire that. I admire that whenever someone's willing to throw their life away
for you. Basically like, what's happening.
Well, they were in Ozfest, and he's like, you know, start learning the lyric because we may need you. And then it came time. And he's like, hey, so I think we need you. Do you think you can quit your job and come on the road with us? I'm like, how many days? You got 3 days.
That's a big ask.
Yeah.
That's a massive ask.
Yeah.
By the way, to front a band that I've never played with before and then only to play in front of the label 3 days later.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it just so happened to be routed to where New York would be the third show. That was when we were on Roadrunner. So the entire staff was coming out to that show. It was like literally his third show ever with
pressure.
Us.
Nah, it's fine. I just totally bombed. It
no,
great.
it was a shit.
Yeah, it was shit.
It was like the worst show ever.
No. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Nah. It was just because we hadn't had enough practice and they struck the drums and there wasn't a lot of mic. I think they just had two overheads for the drums.
Sure.
I don't even think they had kick mics for the drums. So the band kind of got off a bit and then I couldn't figure it out. Because, you know, when you're in a band long enough, you kind of can pick up where the guy left off or you know where you're at. But I have no idea.
It was just one of those weird situations. I think it was at BB King's where they're just, first of all, strange place.
Do they still have shows there?
I think
they shut down.
I don't know, but it's a strange place for a black metal tour, first of all.
It is.
Yeah, and already it was strange. And we weren't allowed to just be efficient. So, you know, it was just one of those shows where everything's kind of going wrong ahead of time.
Yeah,
and, you know, like one thing leads to another, like all the little things that you want running well were not running well. And then it's our third show and it goes like shit. But it's okay. I mean, haven't you guys had horrible shows?
I'm sure. Still.
I'm sure.
Everyone has.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah.
And you remember those specifically.
Yeah. I never forget them.
You don't remember like the life-changing great moments.
Yes, ever.
You remember like the one or two. Like
I missed that one word. Man, the guy in the crowd definitely noticed.
Oh, it's fucked up.
Nah.
Have you ever had a terrible show where the crowd noticed?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a terrible
show. Even worse. Even when people know you can't hide it.
Yeah.
Because during those moments, you're like, you go into like, oh, it sounds dumb, but you're going into like professional mode. Okay, I don't care what's going on. Like, you need to kind of, like, you know?
Yeah, you got to make it happen.
The show must go on.
Yeah. You're still going to rock out. You're gonna pretend like the monitor is perfect and the sound, you pretend like the amp is working. But sometimes you just can't shake it off.
Your soul's
dead. The soul is dead, and people just know.
Yeah,
and we're one of those bands where like there's no middle ground. We have either the best shows ever, or like if we're not all by firing, it's just something happens. It's like we're a flop.
it like raised my blood pressure just to think about, that kind of show. It's a nightmare.
New York is a nightmare. Yeah. New York is a nightmare
because you have to continue.
Yeah.
You cannot just say like okay. It's a bad day. I just leave because it's like...
Yeah, let's just quit for now. We'll come back later.
They were really trying to push metal shows at that one venue, too. I'm not sure why.
Which, B.B. King's?
Yeah. Probably...
they were really pushing it.
They probably had a metal employee. You know, metalhead employee. Then the person left. And I've noticed that with places or companies that suddenly will go into metal. Mm-hmm. Like an instrument company or a gear company or a venue or something. Yeah. Suddenly they'll take this like left turn into metal and like metal. And then that person leaves and they are back out of metal. So usually I've noticed it's like this one person.
It's always one person. It's
usually one person. Yeah, the lone metalhead.
That's how you get the in, right?
Always. Yeah.
Wow. You know what's crazy about your band? I was like, how did you, because you're based out of Atlanta, right?
This is where we used to be. Like, that's where I used to live. That's where he lives. That's
okay.
Essentially, where we're from. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. How do you go from being there to your first record? And what's the connection between that and Roadrunner?
Okay.
Because I remember seeing that as like a fan and a kid. Mm-hmm. I'm like, how did they get signed that fucking label? Holy shit!
That was a plan. That was a concerted effort. So I wanted to get signed to Roadrunner from the get-go. Like that was
nice.
Yeah, it seemed stupidly unrealistic, and I knew then that the thing is, I like to take unrealistic goals and figure out how to make them realistic and find like a logical path.
Yeah.
So I just kind of studied what is it that bands did that got signed to major labels, heavy bands. And in those days, they were like giving out CDs. Like I heard that Disturbed gave out like 200,000 CDs, like
nice.
That they printed themselves, for instance. Disturbed did that. And a few others. But I just found out that that's what they were doing. And I just did a lot of research on what labels were looking for. And, found my way to who Monty Connor's inner circle was. Monty Connor, for
smart.
People that know, yeah, like
smart.
I like he. That's the dude that signed Slipknot. And
if you don't know,
like basically, I think him and Brian Slagle basically made modern metal with a few other people. But like, I consider Monty Connor one of like the pillars of discovering metal bands, but I just kind of like found out who he listens to. And so I tried to find that circle while at the same time giving out CDs and doing what those bands did that I heard about. So we printed up like 25,000 on our own and just gave them out like everywhere. Like I would fly to like London and go to like the parking lot of a Cannibal Corpse show
Dude.
With like 1,000 CDs and just done.
And take that.
He's not. Yeah. He's not lying.
I'm not lying,
dude. Back in the day, so in
fucking real,
we'd go to all the shows in Atlanta, and we would always see him outside passing out CDs. Always.
Without fail,
AO would always be outside the show with just passing CDs to everybody. So funny.
Yeah,
how I got in this band.
You fucking flew.
Yeah,
just to pass out free CDs.
Yeah, also drove to like Maryland Death Fest in 04 to do that. Like it was. I mean, 25,000 is a lot.
Unbelievable, dude.
But did you print it yourself?
Yes.
At home on the like.
Yeah, I used to call them factories. I'd have like a first started like on a 2X burner, then it went to like a 4X burner, then I got like two 4X burners, and like, yeah, we'd have these like all night Adderall fests where we would just like burn and stamp. Slayer's coming 2 weeks, like the next 5 nights.
We need up boxes of Adderall stat
and CDs. CDs. And then what sucks is you get rid of like 2,000 in like 2 minutes, and then yeah, they just go. And it's a little.
Do you have like a backpack full?
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Yeah, just two people with backpacks, three people with backpacks, and
God, remember.
Yeah.
Dude, remember when 2X, remember when 8X burners were the, you're like, oh my gosh, we have 8X
That's
now.
Right.
When CD burners came out, that was a game changer for bands that wanted to pass out their own shit.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Nero.
Like 2X or 4X.
I remember people being like how did you guys get signed, or like how did you guys get the word out? It's like.
Burn 25,000 CDs.
Like that.
And then
like,
shut the fuck up.
I would tell them that. We did the other things, though, of like trying to always play out of town, like never play in town. So
another
we never.
One. Whoa.
So we wouldn't get looked at as like a local band. We always wanted people in town to think of us as a band that they could never see.
Yeah.
Like, so it would be a rare thing. So we almost never played in town.
You don't want to be like the Masquerade Hellband.
No, we never sold
it's
tickets.
Funny, you know.
Got it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure you've had tons of bands.
Sean knows. Yeah.
I'm sure you guys have had tons of Atlanta locals play your shows at the Masquerade.
I don't remember one of them.
Exactly. And that's why we didn't want to do
it. You don't
want
to be that, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cool.
So I didn't know anyone in the bigger bands, but I knew that if we sold tickets and took that slot, they would definitely, I would keep on not knowing them, basically. So that was basically the strategy. And also make good music. That was kind of important, too.
Yeah, well, that's a little bit of it.
Yeah. But then also I started a recording studio. And so the idea with the studio was to try and record signed death metal bands, so that we could then tour with them. So that's how I met like Misery Index and Arsys. And
that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it was a multi-pronged strategy. So when Roadrunner happened, it was like, yeah, it's unrealistic, but not that unrealistic when you like break it down and go after it strategically, I guess. And it might have failed. But we had a prosthetic also offered us a deal, so we had a good plan B. So it wasn't that crazy. Like, if you were there, it wasn't that crazy.
Well, maybe you're just like naturally wired like a fucking psycho.
Yes,
you know, which is a main that's your main ingredient.
Unfortunately,
that's your main ingredient.
Unfortunately, for better for worse.
No, for sure, you have like the gift side of it, but you have like this other side of that to balance like your inner psycho. It's
well, weird. There's no bodies like under my house or anything.
No, but yeah, exactly.
Well, you have to like I don't think it's. I say it like joking around, but I do think that in order to actually get shit done in this world's a hostile place.
It is.
And the world doesn't want you to succeed, but anything that anyone's ever achieved, there was a point in time when they didn't have that thing, right? So that's kind of how I look at it too. There was a point in time where Slipknot was a local band or... Whoever has the something kind of like what you want to do, there was a point in time when they didn't have it. So obviously, it's realistic to do in this world. So how did they do it? How is it done? So figure it out.
That's amazing.
I mean, weren't you strategic as fuck with Suicide Silence?
It's true.
Yeah.
Kind of. You were more like, yeah, so, I think we did touch on it like a little bit. Like, you have like a, there is some kind of plan.
Yeah, you're the master plan.
You have like, okay, I'm going to do this and you do it. Like, mm-hmm. you're passing out CDs and flyers and you're just going all in, writing decent music. But you're outworking the other bands with your strategy and tactics, you know?
Yeah, it's...
It's crazy.
You got to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, have you ever known bands where there isn't someone who thinks like that?
No, I haven't.
I have, but they don't usually go places.
Well, yeah.
But, yeah, so...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, among bands who go places, there's always one or two members that are psychotic about getting shit done. Like,
it's true.
It's a prerequisite. So when I hear shit talk about that band member, I never like internalize it because usually it would be me. But like, that personality is required. It's like it's required.
Yeah, it's like how do you be a musician from Austria and then now you're here? There is like that. Like, how do you do that? Right? It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it was a difficult thing to do. Austria is very small, and we don't really have a big metal scene. There's Belphegor, which is like the biggest Austrian metal band. But
Austrian? They are, huh?
They are Austrian.
Oh, shit.
I didn't know that.
Neither.
But the thing is, I actually started with moving to Poland to play with Decapitated. So that was my first thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I just decided I have to leave my country in order to make my dream come true. And just I played there a couple of years with them. And so that was like the first step into the business. And you do like a tour and an album. Mm-hmm. You just see everything for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you make contacts. And also, of course, social media, because I was a YouTube drummer. So I'm just... That's easier. So I was a YouTube drummer, or I am, and so I was from the early year on YouTube, and this was like the place for me to present myself. So even though I'm in Austria in a small place or in Poland, I was still had the whole world just to show how I play, and you know, then you meet more people, you just fall along, and we just got in touch. I guess it was through the Bogren stuff.
Through Bogren, yeah.
Exactly, because I've worked with Jens Bogren before with my other band, Septic Flesh. And then, the URM Academy stuff. And so we could have started to talk.
Yeah, we were going to do something that just never materialized. But I was like, I remember telling you, we should still like talk about doing something anyways.
Yeah.
So, Bogren also told me that he's like the most pro drummer they've ever worked with.
Oh, so that's a reputation.
I definitely take... Just kidding. I don't know, man. I try to do my job good,
you know? But I think I have the same mentality, like, I want to get shit done. And for me, it wasn't an easy thing when I was a young kid. I just finished school and I was like, okay, I never lived abroad, and especially in a country that I don't know the language. I know three people. And but I was like, I have to do something in order to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to do it and, just work hard but consistent. You know, I don't want to destroy myself, but just be consistent and do one thing at a time and just follow one step at a time. And that's why I'm here.
for like 15 years or longer.
Yeah.
Or longer, almost 20 years. When did your first YouTube video come out?
I started 2007. So 2007, when YouTube was still a small thing. Mm-hmm. Like Samus, you know, 66 Samus, and me, myself, like we did like some drum covers, and that's where it all started. Yeah.
Something as simple.
That was simple. And I was like at the right time, because nowadays YouTube is so full of amazing people, and the production quality is like insane. Like, you have to really step up your game so much more, because in the past, literally, I recorded my drums with like four microphones, a kick, snare, two overheads. It would run it straight into a mixer. In this mixer, also the audio goes straight into the camera. You know, no editing. One shitty camera, you push record and put it on YouTube.
Yeah, but I remember seeing your Dimmu Borgir cover from...
Oh, shit, that'll do it.
Yeah, from a long time ago. It,
with the fucked up couch in the back. Everyone was commenting, that couch, you know,
yeah, new but, couch. But even then, like, how old were you?
I must have been like 18, something like this. I just finished school.
Yeah, you look like a kid, but like,
I was a kid. Yeah, that's the second picture. There it was.
Oh, dude, how tall are you there? My goodness.
But it's like, badass.
You're like a kid.
But it's badass.
Well, that's the new stuff. That's the new one. But there used to be a, because that's a different thing. But that was like from 2007. It was Prodigies of the Great Apocalypse.
Prodigies of the Great Apocalypse.
Exactly. That was the one.
2007?
2007 it must have been. And I do play very, yeah, that's the small boy right here.
That's the small
I played
boy.
Very different here.
Dude, what are you, like 12?
No, look, when I shave, I always look like 12.
That's true. You won't look younger. Just shave,
but yeah, here I was, that was in my high school, so in the cellar. So it's 16 years ago, it says.
16 years ago.
Yeah, and you see it, editing skills.
And it got an intro? Fuck,
man. Oh, I tried.
You got the slate with the...
Easy to couch. That is the couch, man.
Yeah. You look like Joey.
Of course, man. He was my big idol.
Joey, dude.
I learned just from the best. But yeah, that was it.
Yeah, but you could tell even from that. Like, you can tell.
You can tell raw talent.
Yes,
but absolutely. You know, I also made a Decapitated cover, and that was...
It got
me into the band, you know, the Decapitated cover, Invisible Control. I mean, I couldn't really play that song that well, but I didn't give a shit. I just, you know, put it out. But because of that, I got contacted by Vogue, and he was like, yeah.
That many views? Are you fucking serious?
Well, but it's 16 years ago.
Yeah, but still.
That's a lot, dude.
Yeah, I know, but still.
Holy fuck.
So everything...
909, wow.
So everything started back then, you know, and just, yeah.
Okay, so why did you keep the couch there?
Well,
I love the couch. That's why. Look at it.
Because now when you look at the new videos, you can see how far you've come with the new couch. Right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
dude, once you get like a new couch, people are like, oh, we got a new couch. You made it.
Well, I've
He's
been
making money playing
Started
drums.
From the bottom. Now we're here. Right?
Well, you know, it was
a GoFundMe to get Krim a couch.
But I found it funny how people always look like what shit they can find in the videos.
Of course,
they
man.
Just don't. They don't really care. I mean, okay, they care about your performance, but it's all those details, like, what is that in the back? You know, like, you don't even pay attention.
That's what they care about.
They are paying attention to everything.
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 But the couch was like, dude, please. You know, it's a band rehearsal space. Like, fuck it.
I feel like the more raw it is, the more people notice things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think in a good way, too.
Yeah, and I think in an overall good way.
I think there might have been a time period where Raw was bad. But I think recent, maybe like 5 years ago, like wow. 5 years ago to like 10 years ago. But I think nowadays, anything Raw is good because people don't believe what they see online.
True.
They think everything's fake. So
especially AI going, things are getting fucked right now.
Yeah, exactly. And with like playthrough videos where, you know, people just think everything's either sped up, mimed, just not real. Anything to make it raw. That's why drummer from Leprous, Bard,
He's amazing.
He is amazing. Have you seen that playthrough? He does, I forget what song, where he drops a stick. It's in the middle of some crazy shit, and he drops a stick, and then he grabs another and he keeps going. But he left that in. And I know that at some point in time, people would have cut that out. But I really love that he left that in because that's how we know he's actually playing this.
Yeah.
It's fucking sick.
But he's legit.
We know he's legit because he dropped the stick. So we know that that's actually him in the video.
What's the song?
Shit.
But honestly, I must say from
I don't remember. You can look up Leprous drummer's stick drop.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
Once I saw him perform live and he dropped both sticks accidentally and he just kept playing with his hands.
Oh my God.
He's like that kind of guy.
That's sick.
But you know, he is 100% legit. And I believe as a drummer, I can always notice if someone fakes things or it's a legit performance because the way it sounds and the movement, it matches up. You know, if drums are being too sampled or too edited. True.
That's not it.
Yeah, you can. I think it was like a.
It's an older video. It's like a
proper place.
It's like
right?
It's got a lot of views. It's
maybe that one. This one, yeah, the moon one.
Moon.
Could it be that? But the thing is though with Bard, he used to perform on the street in Norway playing some Dream Theater covers. He was like 12 years old or something like this. And I would see his video and like, who is that guy? And he's a super funny guy. He's a bit lost, but in a cool way. Like, he loses his shit all the time, but he's so focused on drumming.
Look at that. That's him.
So I would watch that, and you can tell the passion, you know, just drums, drums, drums.
Dude, he brought his drums to the street. I mean, that's all I got to say.
Yeah, but lots of times street musicians are...
Yeah, but look at his cart that he brought his drums on. that's dedication.
I love this guy.
That is your new trailer.
Exactly.
With the camper right there. Come on.
Man, stick that right behind the van. You guys are good.
He's like a super hyped dude, you know.
That's sick.
And phenomenal drummer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's sick. Well, congrats on I remember you posted a picture of you on a laptop. Actually, the sugar-free Red Bull was there as well. It got people hyped.
And
You haven't. So you signed a Metal Blade, and what you didn't put out music for what 12 years?
Yeah, 12-13 years.
Yeah, man.
It's crazy. The whole thing's crazy. The whole thing didn't ever expect to do again, but it's one of those things where, like, you know,
the very very first picture. I think
the very first picture.
I think it's on Daft's.
Yeah.
You can fucking scroll. But boom, there it is.
Yep. That's when started writing new material.
Damn, I remember that.
Yeah.
we just liked it. Okay.
2021. Wow.
If you have a sugar-free Ripple, you know this dude's working. Are you serious? That's what you know.
You know shit is real.
Yeah. Honestly, I didn't expect anybody to give a shit. And I didn't, like, I don't do things for fun because I'm psychotic, like we already established.
Okay.
But I'm also not delusional. So when I started doing that, I wasn't really thinking there's going to be a label like Metal Blade, like there's going to be a new lineup, there's going to be a record, there's going to be Jens Bogren, there's going to be all the shit. Like, it's just going to be back. Like, that wasn't really...
We were just going to do one song originally.
It was like, let's write a couple of songs, maybe like one or two, and then see how it goes.
See how it goes, go from there. And then, so we did one, and then I pushed you to do another, and then I pushed you to do another. And then you said maximum three.
Look, we have a full up. There's like, but you know, Metal Blade, they're really interested.
Four, and then we could do five. Or maybe we'll just do six.
I mean, we could just probably put 12 on there.
Well, then I hate odd numbers, so we may as well do.
We did the three. We did the three, No Rest, No End, which is the first single that came out, is like part of that batch. We did the three, and we just had this agreement of, if it goes well, we'll finish the album and go from there. So we didn't really define the criteria of what "if it goes well" means. We just said, if it goes well. So open-ended, because, you know, he's got septic flesh.
Yep.
Like, we've all got lives. It's a big ask. But, you know, I guess Metal Blade coming into the picture and stuff means it went well.
Yeah, so, it definitely was the thing, like, okay, so we got to do the album, right?
Yeah, now we got to do the other six.
True.
So is that the plan?
Yeah, album comes out in May.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, hold on, I'm sorry.
It's done.
Real quick, just advice: don't send someone a Wii transfer file.
Okay.
Okay. Because you can't play the fucking files.
Oh, that's right.
So I haven't heard the record. It's actually, I haven't heard it, and I completely forgot in my brain because I'm used to Dropbox.
Well, I can send you Dropbox.
Okay. I just want to leave. Okay, now we can move on. Cause
never use WeTransfer.
No, because I like waking up day of and just putting on like whatever new record or like the Spotify, just go straight down and driving. Nice. It's like 5-6 a.m. You see the sun. Like the vibes coming up. I'm like, okay,
maybe blast beats.
And then I want to hear this. You cannot.
You will definitely be awake afterwards.
You can't locate file. I'm like, oh, don't put the fucking WeTransfer file. Come on, dude.
Come on.
Oh, it's some intense stuff.
You fucking know better.
That's actually the reason. The reason I do WeTransfer is because of Dropbox and Google Drive failing so often.
Really?
Yeah. They go down a lot. So, for when you're dealing with like huge transfers and stuff, shit can get finicky. WeTransfer, the only reason I use it is because it's the only way that I can actually know that someone got it.
Well, it's usually a wave, and you typically have to unzip it, so it's like...
It's a pain in the ass.
Fuck yeah.
It's just with the other ones, I don't know that the person got it.
What is the easiest way to send someone a record?
Well, for what are they going to do with it? Like, if they were going to listen on their phone, mm-hmm, like, yeah, in your scenario, I think Dropbox.
Yeah.
You put it on Dropbox, and you have a password that they can...
Password.
Yeah, password to access it. Yeah.
But what can... Actually, wait. I'm actually going to contradict myself. One, what do you think is going to happen with the record, right? Like, and also, like, I think people might be done leaking stuff, but then I just had a memory.
No. Record. I don't mean in that way. I mean more like if you have, like, say, 7 different versions, like we do, and you send and you send them version 4.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that, like, if they then share it, that they're at least sharing the correct version. Mm. It's like a known thing that that stuff's going to get shared, but I wouldn't want the wrong mix to be what, like, goes around. So
sure,
at least share the right thing.
Yeah.
So I think that putting the password on there, that way you can limit the access to the older versions. And,
interesting. Yeah, okay.
And keep everything up to date, so it prevents versioning errors. That's what it is.
Can you put like a timeline? Like this will expire in a week.
Yep.
Or
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You didn't do that, right?
No.
What am I?
No, I just wanted to give it to you.
Oh shit.
Yeah, I just gave it to you.
Okay. Maybe I should have been more clear. Hey, I'll let's do this like day of, and just fucking go to the gym and just jam it.
Yeah. No, I just sent it to you with no password, no expiration. Well, there is an expiration that's built in.
Hmm.
I just gave it to you. No holds, no restrictions.
You were
no
good.
Restrictions.
Yeah. Should have completed that.
Yeah,
no
you're cleared.
Do you think leaking is coming back?
What does it even mean?
Where are you
anymore?
Leaking it to, though?
Yeah, like matters. What?
There's like, one place you could leak it to, which
YouTube?
I won't say now, but there is a website you can download any record that comes out because they leak it.
That's still going on.
It still goes
so
on. My
you know
buddy
what,
gets all his records.
You know what happens that I've seen lately? Producers get hit up by people pretending to be in the label.
That's what I want to talk to you about.
Yes. So that...
Oh, really?
That is fucked up.
I didn't hear about
like,
that.
Like, I'm not worried about me sending you something and hopefully you thinking it's sick and you showing somebody else in some other band or in your band. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Or like me sending it to somebody else, they show it to somebody else. Cool.
Yeah.
That's and then it's out there. That's fine. But what this thing that we're talking about is people will pose as a friend or as an employee of the management company or the label,
mm-hmm,
or working for the band,
mm-hmm,
who hit up the producer and be like, I didn't get the files.
That's
and
fun.
It'll look real. It'll look
it looks real.
Real. It looks totally real. I know several producers who have been duped by this. And
so some got
yeah.
duped.
Yeah, and when it's like a huge band, when it's a huge band and we're talking about like 6-figure budgets and stuff like that.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do they, so I'm curious, how do these people know? Because it freaks me out because this is very extreme inner circle stuff. How do you know the producer? How do they know who's mastering it? And like the band knows and maybe people at the label know. And when people were hitting up people that did our masters, mm-hmm, for a record, I'm like, how does someone in the outside
someone
know?
Someone talks.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone talks.
Yeah.
I just had an experience.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, you know, with the guitars.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't mind talking about it because obviously it's out there, right, somehow. So we're just at the NAMM show, and I was walking around and walked past the booth. And this relates to what you're talking about of how word gets out. So walked past the booth, did a double take, and was like, what am I looking at? And what I was looking at was stolen versions of my girlfriend's guitars. Yes, right there. So, she paints for the Fender Custom Shop, and, these are like commissioned guitars. You know, they're purchased by, these are the fakes, but they're, the ones she does are like commissioned straight by the Fender Custom Shop. They're not commissioned by individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go to like dealerships or to like really, really rich buyers or whoever buys those like really, really expensive Fender Custom Shop ones. And these are all like one-offs, hand-painted. And so I saw her designs out of the side view and was going to show her. I saw some, but then when I looked, I realized those aren't Fenders. And the art looks shitty. And then I looked a little more and I noticed three of her designs there.
Three,
yeah, they had three. So I did a story with a little slideshow of the three. But anyways, word got out, I guess. I guess the slideshow's gone. But yeah, it's actually on my Facebook page, on my personal Facebook. But anyway, point being, like they did three. I put them on blast, and today I got a DM from a company saying, "We apologize for stealing your girlfriend's artwork. We have removed the guitars. We would like to pay for your and your girlfriend's upcoming trip to Japan." It's like, how are you not going to Japan? Yeah. Where they find? So whoever told them about your mastering told them I'm going to Japan. Yeah,
exactly.
Too.
It's that same person.
It's that same person.
Just in the industry.
It's a deep state.
LA. They're obviously in LA. Yeah. Someone here. Is it you?
Yeah, that's why I have a podcast. Yeah. I know what's
fucking
going on.
It's fucking creepy, though, right? So are we going to go there and get killed? I don't know.
That's worth a shot. I mean,
yeah. How do they know? Like, right?
How can you get the artwork like that?
I don't know. I think, how did they get it?
How do you get that?
You just copy it.
You just copy it. What I find more crazy is how do they know that he wants to go to Japan?
Yeah, that's the crazy
Because you
part.
Didn't post about
no,
it there?
No, it's this trip.
Did you click that link in your email? You did.
Yeah.
They're in your
So,
computer.
Like, what's going on? Like, who are these people? Yeah. Like, some, like...
Okay, so this is a company that's from Japan, correct?
No. So I don't know where they're from.
So where? Okay,
probably China.
China.
Okay, so where is this guitar company from?
Taiwan.
But like when you click on their, when you try to find them online, it goes to a fake website. Like that doesn't look like a real company, right?
No. Yeah, you have one post. They're like, we have one guitar.
Yeah, it's sketchy.
Yeah. Anarchy, of course.
Sketchy, right?
And they're at NAMM. Selling guitars.
There were a lot of guitars,
but they had like EVH models there. It's like, you don't have an EVH license. Like, no way you have.
This is freaky shit, dude.
Yeah, and so how do they know I'm going to Japan? Like, so what's going
how
on?
How do they know that?
I don't know. That's
okay. I had if you.
How do people find this shit out? Like, same with like what you're talking about with the. With the mastering
this
stuff.
It's extreme inner circle stuff.
Yeah.
Like, the only people that know are, like, maybe a couple people at the label that know who's mastering the fucking record.
Yeah.
How did it, and I don't
Who's know. The rat?
Yeah.
And if they know, like, your personal travel. Okay, so I have a theory.
All right.
I thought about this when I was high.
That's probably right.
That's probably a groundbreaking moment.
I get sketched out by putting my ideas in the notepad. Because now people, because I'm well aware that people know what I type.
Yeah.
Especially when you have TikTok or Instagram. Yeah. It's known around the world that now you're, the way, how you press your finger on the screen is tracked.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm like, okay, if I'm putting my ideas down there, someone can see this.
Hey, if you have TikTok on your phone, though, that could also be a lot of it because you give them permission. A lot, like, don't you remember that? They were trying to ban it?
Yeah.
Because you were giving them permission to look at everything on your phone.
Sure.
So that's, if you have it, that's a red flag. That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
I actually stopped putting so many of my ideas on there, and now I go straight to paper.
It's paper, old school.
Yeah, it's just nice. just ideas. Like, you know, for the pod or a song or like just any idea you have, I stopped putting it in the notepad because it's kind of known for – it's known. This is a perfect example. I haven't thought about this in a while where –
I like that.
People, oh my God. I need that.
Tinfoil hats, baby.
People in a different country – will steal your idea. Because they're probably, they had the access. They're probably the ones that have the access to the way you're typing.
Of course.
It's freaky.
Yeah, of course.
It's
key logging.
There's 100%. No such thing as privacy.
No.
Online.
That is long gone,
so
dude.
If you want it analog, like you're doing, and also that's actually better. Mm-hmm. There's lots of studies show that actually writing stuff down is better for learning and remembering.
Learning so, and retention.
Yeah.
Dude, but did you ever suffer with that when you're writing? I know I do because I never write anymore. That when I write, I always like put letters ahead because I'm like, my brain is so much faster and I'm used to texting it that when I write, I like put letters out of place. I'm like, damn it, rewrite that word again.
Sure.
Happens so much.
Yeah, I think it's good for your creative brain too. Like it's because with the phone, it's too finished too quick. If you're writing something, it's just like you're able to like kind of sketch it out. This word's wrong. I'm gonna spell it and you cross it off. There's something I don't know what it is. I really don't know.
Yeah.
But something happens when you just write shit down.
Yeah, I mean, ByteDance is like one of the biggest defenders of that, by the way. So I mean, I have it. We all have it. I'm sure you know TikTok, but you know that was.
Have it.
That was a huge thing. They were like, they're basically key logging. Yeah, and they're listening to you. I mean, like Instagram and Facebook, they're all listening to your mic. I mean, you give them all access to that. But, you know, when your data gets leaked or, you know, something like that, that's where they get a lot of that from. And especially these days, I get these, you know, I'm sure we all do, living in America, we get these sketchy USPS, your packages, you know, are ready.
It's a plus
48. You're like,
but we get, okay. We have the same in Europe. I get all the time scam calls and like, pick up your package here. Yeah. You know, your tracking number is blah, blah, blah. And it's like,
I didn't order
I'm not ordering anything. I'm like, what I'm supposed to, you know, pick up.
They got me. So, and I am good. I am a tech person. I always double, triple, quadruple check like my emails, any websites that people send me. And I got a text message and I was expecting a package from somebody. And it says, hey, we need to update your shipping information because something's wrong. And I know the person who sent it where I live. There's a 9 or a 4 at the end of my zip code. So it just really depends on where it's going. But the official puts a 9, but when I write it to someone, it's a 4. So sometimes it can be a mess. So I click the link, it sends me to the USPS website, and I put in my information. It wants me to pay a 30-cent fee. So I put my credit card in. And then the next day,
wow, they got you.
$2,000 charged to my credit card.
Someone
paying their power bill in North Carolina. Yeah, I was like, power. I'm like, whatever.
Wow.
So it happens again, except, I mean, because the website looks legit. It is the prefix of everything is legit. It's all the suffix at the end. That's like 01 question mark Q, you know, after the forward slash. It all looks legit, like USB.gov. But then, so this time it happened again. I'm like, let me see if I can click other things. So I scroll down to like the ask us, about us. All leads to dead links.
So that's the trick now.
That's the trick. If you ever get that and you go to the website, always click around on all the links at the bottom, the hyperlinks, and see if it leads to a real site. Because they got me, but they won't again.
Can your bank get that money back?
Yeah, it was a credit card. So they had it in 2 seconds. It wasn't
really
a debit card. Obviously, that takes 2 weeks.
You can still get that back though.
Yeah, yeah.
Ask me how I know.
Yeah, yeah. Debit card is like debit card is like 2 weeks. Still get it. But credit card, it's instant. They just write it off and they're like, whatever, we'll fix it. Yeah.
This thing, North Carolina.
There it is. Yeah, delivery failure notification. Yeah, and that's an email. But like when it comes through as a text, that's when it was like, oh, because I always get text of like you have a package at the front office. So I'm like, oh yeah, let me go pick it up. So you're in like an autopilot mode and you don't think and. It got me, man.
Plus, you were expecting something. So
I was. No, I was actually expecting something to come like tomorrow or the next day. So I was like, oh, shoot, they're holding it. It may have been delivered. Let me just make sure I adjust my. And all I did was change the zip code to the 4 instead of the 9. And yeah. $2,000 later.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's how people get you. It's like, it's when like you're just on kind of autopilot. You're on their phone kind of scrolling. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to do this.
Look at this. That looks legit. But that's not what mine looked like, but it was very similar to that. Yeah, it looks legit. You're like, oh, shoot. Legit. UPS. Oh, damn, my tracking number. Oh, damn, that's mine. I should fix that.
Oh, shit, I really want this package.
Yeah, exactly. But they will never do that, obviously. I've learned that they'll never text you to change your information ever. They would just hold the package. Yeah, you'll never get a text from the post office, from UPS, from Amazon, never. They'll just contact you through your account, and they won't even email you. They'll actually try to call you is what they'll happen.
So learn. We can learn all from your situation
Now. I'm trying to teach you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're giving us
don't make my mistake. Always click the damn hyperlinks at the bottom. Like, click the contact us and see if it leads to a real page.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing this information.
Thank you, Sean.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So first tour back is going to hit North Carolina.
Yeah.
It's fucked up, dude. That is fucked up. You know, it's been bugging me. What does your shirt say?
Twilight Sad.
What's that?
It's a Scottish band that I saw open for The Cure.
Oh shit, you serious? Awesome.
Yeah.
What's it called?
The Twilight Sad.
Twilight Sad, dude. If it's a new band, dude, I got to hear it.
Got to check it out.
Were they sick or what?
Yeah. Good enough for me to get the shirt.
If you bought the fucking, the $30 shirt, it's probably, okay, The Twilight Sad. Okay. So they open up for The Cure.
Yeah,
is it kind of that like style or what?
Yeah, kind of in that like
nice.
Yeah, when you're like, depressed, you gotta listen to The Cure. Yeah, it helps.
Sometimes you don't get like a certain band or music, but if you're in the mood, like let's say you get dumped or something, it all makes sense.
It all makes sense. Yeah,
you're like, oh, dude, when me and my chick broke up, Coldplay made a lot of sense, and I was jamming that shit for a long time. I was like, this best band in the world. Oh, shit, that's a nice guitar.
Yeah, I heard some quote. It was like, lyrics are great when they mean nothing, but when they mean something, you know, they definitely hit home. Like, and it's like in that moment where, like, you're just listening to, you're like, whatever, this song is great. But then when it hits that moment, you're like, this is everything I've been thinking for the this is the answer.
Yeah. It's kind of a trip that...
Hopefully you never feel that way about brutal death metal lyrics.
Yeah,
Cannibal Corpse.
No.
Hopefully those never hit home for you.
This next song. This is all the women out.
It is kind of funny how we don't care about like we don't care about death metal lyrics.
Yeah,
it's brutal. Yeah, it's
whatever.
It's not serious.
Yeah.
I don't think. I mean, it's like serious music, but it's not a manifesto. It's just art.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, humans are drawn to just a fantasy.
Yeah, we don't have to say the name, but track one, baby.
Oh my!
I think that's from Tomb of the Mutilated. Actually, great record.
So sick. I mean, humans are just naturally drawn to fantasy.
Yeah, totally.
You know? It's cool. There's a positive in that. Whereas even death metal is a perfect example. Like you have like these lyrics. It's obviously not serious, but there's like the fantasy element to it, but. This makes you feel good. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I think with death metal, for me, it's not so much what the lyrics are, because I kind of almost don't care with death metal. It's more just like how it sounds, like rhythmically.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's just a feel. It's a vibe.
Yeah, but also, though, it is good if the song is heavy to be able to belt out that just like, fuck you. I mean, come on.
Sure.
Fucking, what is it? Fuck everything? Dude, come on. It's great to scream. Fuck, man, especially in the car.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, yeah. Say it with me. Fuck everything. You know, you're like, hardest, see, so that works.
Hardest to come up with those stupid, simple stuff. Dude, your journey of going into, like, production audio has been really fascinating to see. And the idea of, like, nailing the mix. To give people access, which I'm sure was a fucking hassle. All that was like behind the scenes stuff, I'm sure. Trying to get like.
That's most of it.
Trying to get the tracks. You know?
Yeah, dude. So, Nail the Mix is another one of those things that seemed really unrealistic to pull off. Like, to think, you know, we're going to get.
There he is.
Yeah.
I know that guy.
It's
the same jacket.
just I love this jacket. Just to think that any of those artists, I mean, we've had you guys on a few times. We had Septic Flesh on. Like, at first, it was like, and Gojira. Like, it just seems super unrealistic that anyone would be cool with allowing that. Just because, you know, remember speaking about leaks and the era that we come from,
true.
That it just seemed like no one would ever be cool with it. So the fact that it was allowed to happen in the first place is a miracle. Mm. And the fact that it's continued to happen is a miracle. But I think that we've made the case for why it's not hurting. It's not hurting anybody. It's not hurting any of the artists. So, you know, like, we're paying license fees, first of all. But second of all, like, our community members aren't allowed to do anything with those tracks. So even if you're downloading Opeth, like, their actual tracks and doing mixes, you can't just post it on your own site and be like, I mixed Opeth.
Yeah.
come record with me. Like, I'm Opeth's mixer. Yeah, like, that's a good...
Weird little things to, like, you know, navigate. I'm sure it's like, oh, shit. Yeah, how do you navigate this?
Well, obviously, there will be, like, you know, Russian sites that will just, like, steal everything and put it up. And,
of course.
But, like, people are... artists and labels are understanding that because they know that, like, the amount of piracy that comes from there. But we're really, really serious within the community that if someone breaks those rules, like, it's a sacred thing that we don't fuck around with people's tracks. So if someone posts them outside of the community, like, do their own mix, post it on YouTube, it's like, I mixed Suicide Silence, they get banned. And the thing is, our community self-polices because we made it basically really clear that it's kind of an honor that we're allowed to use tracks by so many great bands.
Yeah.
And the only reason it's allowed to continue is because we don't have a track record of doing fucked up things with those tracks. If we did, the shit would go away. So, and we let the community know that. And so whenever someone violates it, I get like 500 DMs or emails or people like directing us to the post or whatever.
Whoa.
Like, it happens fast. It happens really, really fast. And then, yeah, you just get the shit taken down.
Andrew Wade.
But yeah, like, the thing with Nail the Mix, though, was, have you ever been into production, Chris?
No, like, just, like, Logic, trying to get tone.
Mark's more the dude in your band, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so, like, I think that there's a lot of metal musicians, and there have been for, like, the past 15 years, who, like, want to record to some level. Some want to do it for a living. Some just want their own music to sound better. Mm-hmm. You know, everything in between. But back in the day, if you went to look for information on how to do it, there was literally zero. Like, nothing. Like, you could find shit for any other genre. You could go to school for any other genre. But for metal, there's, like, literally nothing.
It's true.
Yeah. And the metal producers, like, the old guard, were, like, guarding that shit, like the CIA or something. Yeah. Yeah, like...
My tracks.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I just figured, like, look, this home recording thing is only going to get bigger. It's not going to get smaller.
True.
More and more musicians are going to get into this. More and more producers are coming in. If we don't want the next generation of metal to sound like fucking shit, someone's got to help them. Mm. So, yeah, that's where it came from. And we figured it's better if you have the people who actually made the records that you listen to showing how to do it than some rando, like, who is, like, guessing. Like, if you want to know what's happening on an Opeth record or on a Meshuggah record, why don't you hear it from the dude who mixed it with those actual tracks? It's a crazy thing, though, that it even happened. But, yeah, it happened. The thing, though, that I keep, like, telling myself is, how bad are we spoiling people, or asking myself? Because, like, can you imagine being a producer or just a beginner, like, you want to learn, and you're like, oh, I'm just going to download Devin Townsend, go to Nail Mix and get, like, Devin Townsend tracks and Suicide Silence tracks and Meshuggah tracks and, like, whatever, and, like, this is what you're working with now. And then you go work with local bands and it's not like that. I worry about spoiling people sometimes because, like, that's not reality. Like, you work a long time before you can work with bands that good, and you have to learn how to solve problems with bands that are not that good.
Was this you in year 2000?
What year? What?
Yeah, Mutt Lange. Oh, shit, dude, that's fucking legendary, dude.
That is that Shania Twain?
Is it?
I can't tell.
Yeah. If it is, good eye. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, weren't they married?
Were they? I have no idea.
Yeah, they were married.
Oh, well, there's another fun fact that you knew I didn't.
He produced her, then married her. And not anymore.
Isn't it a trip to hear the tracks and like you're like, oh, wow, they are. That's why they're that band. They are that good.
Yes. Well, no, not a trip. Like, more like a confirmation.
Mm.
Like, when you hear, like, a Gojira track, actually, the best example is Meshuggah. Like, because we did Destroy, Erase, Improve.
Oh, my God.
It's 23 tracks. 23 tracks. What's the song called, the opening?
Future Breed Machine.
Future Breed Machine. That's right. We did Future Breed Machine. Yep. Yeah.
I'm a
god. It's 23 tracks, all tracked analog.
It's like one drum set. Like one metal drum set is that much.
Yeah, exactly. But you play it, and it's like, oh, all right. They sound like this. That's what they sound like. Have you ever been in the room with this really great musician and they sound exactly like what you know them to sound like, but like playing through like some shitty practice amp? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, all right. That's what they actually sound like.
They're like it's 85% them.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. It's crazy. It's like the hands, their brain.
I did actually watch this just because I love that song.
The whole album is phenomenal.
Oh, it's one of my favorite.
Absolutely.
It's my favorite band.
out of curiosity, what do you think are like the top five like best metal mixes?
Ooh.
Let's go around.
Tough.
Dude.
That's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough because there's so many great ones. I think Ghost Reveries album.
Mm, interesting.
I think a lot of people think that the Watershed mix is better, but I don't know. I think the Ghost Reveries mix.
Europe. You come off as like an Opeth guy.
Yes, I love Opeth.
Okay.
But also, I've heard mixes and I don't remember the names of. So I more think of like who I think are great mixers.
I
think Buster Odeholm is like the next generation of.
Buster's killing.
Yeah.
It,
Buster's the future. I think there was a time period. See, you have to think about. In context of the time, because production standards have changed. So if you go back to like the early 2000s, you listen to like The Impossibility of Reason, like with Colin Richardson mixing, like that is like the pinnacle.
It is.
Of what was
Impossibility.
Dude, it is.
Sounds incredible. That's the pinnacle of what could be done in 2003.
I'm surprised you don't hate that band.
Why?
I'm kidding. It's fine.
Because they stole my band.
Hey,
I'm sorry. I didn't bring it up.
That whole story is funny.
Hey, that was great, though. That helped so much, man. Yeah. I mean, come on, it kept us going pretty much.
Yeah, but you're right. That mix is like, I mean, there was an era, if it was touched by Colin, it was just like you knew it was gonna sound sick as fuck.
Yeah,
you knew exactly what it was gonna sound like, and you wanted that sound.
Yeah, absolutely. So. I'd say Impossibility of Reason, Ghost Reveries.
Wow, that's up there? Damn.
Yes.
Wow, that's on your list.
He's
that's
just asking right. about mixes.
No, yeah. I know. I just didn't realize that was on that's your cool. list. That's cool, yeah.
Obviously, Black Album.
What do you think about Stabbing the Drama? That was one of my favorite mixes. Soilwork.
It's great, but it's... I mean, it's
very
great.
Specific.
It's very specific, yeah.
Well, I think, the way the drums sounded. I think that there's like... I'm in the At the Gates contingent. There's like I feel like there's three contingents of like fans of the Swedish melodic death metal from the 90s. There's the In Flames contingent, the At the Gates contingent, and Soilwork contingent.
Yeah.
I'm in the At the Gates contingent. So for me, the Fredrik Nordström At the Gates stuff is like the pinnacle.
Mm. Oh. Do you imagine fucking being in the room and recording the Black Album, dude? Imagine.
I felt like I was with those movies they put out.
I love it when it's so like raw and behind the scenes stuff. Dude, I love that shit, dude.
Dude, you want to talk about balls? Metallica have the biggest balls.
They do.
Out of anybody. Like putting out some kind of monster.
I will 100% agree.
They are fearless. Like they are not afraid to, and I think that's part of why they have remained so big is whether or not people like their new stuff, like they're so willing to be, to just show the truth, whether it's ugly, whether mm-hmm. it's embarrassing, whether it's awesome, like it doesn't matter. Like just the balls to put out some kind of monster. Dude, it's like, wow.
There's some scenes I was laughing Dude, at.
It's seriously, but I love
loved it.
I love it.
Just putting down Lars or Lars.
I just
putting down James.
It sounds stuck to my ears.
Yeah, because when you do that like in the room bickering with your band, it's kind of hard to be an outsider, but I'm pretty sure there's an outsider, it'll look really and sound really bad.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When there's like that in the room bickering.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
It's just like, dude.
Yep, that's the one I'm talking about. It sounds stuck to my ears.
Fuck. Which part do you think is unclear? It sounds to my ears.
It's. Have you seen it recently?
No.
It's been a while, man.
You should watch it again.
Yeah. Probably like 2 years.
No, okay, so that's recently. When it came that's out. Recently
yeah.
enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. You're seeing them in their worst moment, but also in now that it's been 20 years or whatever, seeing this, it's like, wow, this is why they're so huge. Like,
I love that Lars, though, in this is like complaining about riffs being too stock. And it's like, bro, I'm not going to say anything. Yeah.
That's one of my favorite beats. Yeah. Boom. Yeah. Dude, I just want to put a drop eight chug on there, dude.
Yeah. I love his drum beats.
Yeah. That what a record. Holy shit, dude.
I was straight up with you and I told you I'm in a shit mood and what have you been doing? Picking at me all night.
I love it.
So good.
That's what I say to Eddie.
Let's watch it right now. Let's stop the podcast and just watch it.
That looks very familiar.
I love he slams the door. It's like, so yeah. dramatic.
It's how you distract a bunch of metalheads is just...
Watch some kind of monster.
Yeah,
it's so relatable. Like, right.
It's so relatable.
And when Lars's dad tells them to burn the record or delete it, or whatever.
It should be deleted.
Oh, dude, Sway.
I would delete
Jeez,
that.
Jeez, I forgot about Sway.
And it's also great that so in 1999 you were ready to like to leave metal, correct?
Yes.
And then you heard the first Slipknot.
Yes, that's correct.
What was it about that record that kind of just brought you back? I mean, you're fucking.
Well, I started. I was doing like, I mean, we're talking about a long time ago, but yeah. I was writing death metal in high school. Actually, some of the stuff on the Hinderus album were death metal songs I wrote in high school. But
serious?
Yeah. But oh, then shit. I started going into orchestral composition and thought that that's what I was going to do, mm-hmm. and just wasn't going to do metal anymore. And it was kind of like uninspiring to me in the late 90s. And but I decided I needed to learn some modern stuff just so that I would keep my guitar playing modern. Mm-hmm. And I had that perception of new metal bands that dudes from death metal had that were like those fucking new metal bands. I'm going to just, who's this Slipknot band? I'm just going to learn some of this new metal shit. And you heard the first song and it's just like roaring. That opening song is just so awesome.
Yeah, it's insane.
It's like so much energy. It just exploded. And it was just like, this is what I've wanted metal to be. Like, this is what's been missing from metal. So, yeah, as soon as I heard it, it was like, oh, yeah, metal is fucking awesome. Just no one's been making it fucking awesome for a while. So,
yeah, that album was definitely groundbreaking. Yeah, I remember going to the record store and I would just listen to the first song. And I was like,
you're hooked.
I was hooked. I was not yet a metalhead yet, but I think that album changed my mind. So I was like, that's a weird album cover. I'm checking it out.
That's how you used to buy albums was that way, yeah.
Yeah, I saw them at like Ozfest 99 and they were like the side stage thing. Same. What is
this? They played West Palm. So I actually found the video of somebody and I saw myself in the video in Ozfest 99. Like you can see me from the back of the head, yeah. Whoa. And I remember because the album wasn't out when they played Ozfest.
Yeah,
I would it wasn't. Yeah.
I got like the Roadrunner sampler with like Fear Factory and video. Like two songs of Slipknot. And I was waiting for that.
I would have loved to see them during that time.
No, yeah, this
first was the time I saw them 2002. And that's when they came over to Austria the first time. But I would have loved to see them.
Imagine following them on stage back then.
Oh my God!
I think like Snot was after them. Like it was either Snot or it was System or it was like Head PE. I mean, was literally after Slipknot on that side stage.
It just seems like it would be really demoralizing.
Yeah, oh yeah, of course.
Yeah,
that would make you want
to. Not a lot of people moshed. I remember everyone just stood and stared.
That's one thing. It was kind of weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, what is going
like,
on?
People didn't know how to like react to it at first.
When it's happening.
That is so funny. Yeah, there's a point in this video you can actually see my head from the back, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm actually standing in this crowd.
That first record is literally Ross Robinson's masterpiece. Yeah. That's like,
I agree.
It's just a masterpiece.
Yeah. It's the whole the mystique about what he did with bands. I feel like that is the pinnacle of it. And you can see it in like some of the clips they have of the making of.
Yeah,
like
you can just go like 5 second clips. Yeah. Everyone pops up. Like, yeah. Oh, damn.
I'm looking for everything I can find about like recording sessions from Iowa and the first album. It's like,
there's nothing.
Whenever there are so little snippets out there, but I always look for like, what did they do back then?
He got those techniques from his mom.
Wait, stop. I think that's me. Wait, go back on the right-hand side.
Oh, you're actually on there?
Yeah. You know, I told you. I was at this show. Yeah. So whoever's videotaping this, because I just watched. So I was in the bottom right-hand corner. I'm wearing a white shirt, and I had a bowl cut, and I was shaking. Oh, there.
That was you. That's wait,
you. Yeah, no, I've watched this video so many times.
Right there.
Yeah, exactly.
This is you.
Right
that's
there.
Your
yeah,
ear?
Exactly. Yeah, that's me right there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's so stupid. I had a ticket, so I've shown my buddy as proof. Here I am. Bro.
How did you find yourself?
Well, because I remember, and like I always look back on old shows. Like I watched an old Deftone show from '97 in Fort Lauderdale. I found a Limp Bizkit show from '97, and so I was like, yeah, let's look up Slipknot '99, and I found it, and I start watching it, and I'm just like, dude, that's me. Like I remember my haircut.
I know what the back of my head looks like.
Yeah, no, I mean, dude, it was the bowl cut, the split down the middle, and then I was shaved all up underneath, so you can see it. Yeah, it's so stupid.
Damn, that's fucking sick.
Oh, wait, no. See, no, there I am right there. Straight ahead. That is actually my head right fucking there. That is me. Yeah, that's me right there, bro.
That is
fucking me.
That's fucking sick, dude.
Yeah, 100%, dude. That is me. That's so stupid.
Yeah, you look like, what's going on here? Like,
well, because I remember...
Is that when the beard just grew?
I didn't have a beard.
It just grew at that moment,
I had no
though.
Beard. Let's see, I would have been in, I guess I would have been in 10th grade at that point. Yeah, because I moved up to Georgia, I think, that year, 10th or 11th grade.
Damn. Holy shit.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, so I found myself in that video. And a buddy of mine.
There I am.
Yeah, so I posted something recently, and then somebody commented on it, and then I showed him the picture of the ticket. I was like, here I am, dude. I was at that fucking show, man. I actually met Mick, and it was really funny, because he's like, yeah, we're playing at 3 o'clock on the side stage. You know, you probably won't care about my band. Like, he didn't think that it was going to be anything you could tell at that time. He didn't have his mask on, so nobody knew. But I was one of those that I think I picked up like a Spin magazine or something. And in the back, I remember they had albums coming out, and I remember just seeing the cover, and I'm like, dude, I've got to get that record. Mm. Yeah, and then they played that year, and then I believe it came out in June of that year. Like, I think it was like June 17th or July 17th. I don't know why I remember that date. Because I actually, or it was like the 19th or something, because I moved to Georgia and I got it like a week early. So it's something like that.
Slipknot trivia.
June. There you go. See, look, I was close, man. Yeah. I was close. I remember it was something like that. And so I think I had gotten it on the 17th.
Memory.
Yeah, I have a stupid memory.
I'm surprised they didn't do the 19th, because it'd be 19, 1990.
Yeah. Well, I may have gotten at that because the guy I knew at the record store, he had copies of it early. And so he was a buddy of mine, and I was like, I'm moving. And he let me get the copy of it. So we listened to it the whole drive up before it had released. And I had already memorized most of the songs. And that record is actually what got me screaming in that style. So I used to practice my scream, because I used to try to sound like Chino a lot.
Yeah.
I really wasn't into doing a lot of the like screams that I do now. And the Fry scream, I guess.
Yeah.
You know? And that's kind of what got me started, was that record. So.
Damn.
Yeah, good story.
That's fucking sick.
Funny that we just fucking... Damn, thanks for pulling up the video.
Made a cameo. It's fucking badass.
Stupid as fuck.
So after, so you were doing the Rip Hard podcast, you were doing the Orion podcast, and then it's cool that you got the itch to fucking come back and get a sick band together.
Had to be. Yeah, it's only worth doing if you're going to do it right,
true.
I think.
True.
So you know what it's like replacing band members. It fucking sucks. It's
terrible.
So it's one of those things where Sean and I were just like, we're only going to do this if like it works musically, and like we think the dudes are cool, and
But we just wanted to say, like, our agreement was this has to sound the best thing we've ever done.
Yeah, it has to be better than what we used to be, it just ain't happening. So that, and I feel like if you kind of set that as the standard and then just stick to it, that's the thing. Because sometimes, man, when bands come back, it can go either which way. Sometimes it's like, I wish they stayed in the past. I think that the fear is always, you know, coming out with something and then it being like old and tired sounding or something like that.
Sure.
So we just took the time to make sure that it was not that, that it just sounded like basically we never went anywhere, but got better somehow.
Good goal.
Yeah.
Well, first step is a sick drummer.
It helps.
Yeah.
Definitely helps.
Yeah.
I think that it's like really, really important that even when there's like a central writer or something, you know, like, or a central vision for a song, that you figure out a way to make it everybody's song. But that means that like the people that you're working with have to have like their own like way of contributing to that, or like taking things their own direction. And that's actually harder to find. That's harder to find and pull off than it seems. Like it, because you find a lot of people that are really good players or really good writers or like really good at their own stuff or only good at like learning shit exactly the way it's written. It's actually really rare to get chemistry with people who are great players and then also able to write and then also able to interpret stuff in a style and then add their own style into it and it work. Like there's a lot of factors to it.
True.
Speaking of Raphael, what do you got to say about
that? Yeah.
I haven't heard you say anything.
What's up, dude?
That's all right. I'm listening. You guys have funny stories to tell.
No, we're saving the best for last. So we are hearing from you, badass, and Clint, close it off on a high note.
The highest of notes.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, you were able to adapt that style and take the reins, man, for sure.
Yeah. I just listened a lot to what you guys have been doing in the past, and I mean, I've been through the whole process with like Ale together as of the whole songwriting thing, and we worked hard on it. But yeah, I'm happy to be here.
That's what's up.
Yeah, Krim showed me a video. We wanted to make sure that whoever ended up being lead guitarist was like godly, and basically we're looking at different people, and Krim showed me this video of him that I had never heard of him. But what was it? It was like, I think you were doing something from an obscure song. I don't know.
Could be, yeah.
Like, it's a bunch of arpeggios, really, really, not just fast, but like really musically cool. But like, yeah, Krim showed it to me and was like, I think this guy would be good. And I heard, like, I
think this guy can do it.
I think this guy would be good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I forget which one it is, but like, it's a black background. And
it's probably Ethereal Skies,
yes,
by Obscura.
Yes.
Yeah, it can be that one.
That shit is crazy. So saw that and was like, yeah, all right.
Under Black Skies.
We've got to talk to
one?
This guy.
That's a guitar.
Yeah, look at that.
I think that's a different one. I think it's called Ethereal Skies by Obscura. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a video of him with a black background. It's not that one. It's a little bit older, but like,
yeah, it's old.
It's great.
I like that you put the title. That's nice. It's easy to find. Iconic.
It's even older. So he's sitting down. It's not close up.
You can find it on YouTube much easier if you type in Obscura Ethereal Skies.
Yeah.
Playthrough.
Yeah, so I saw that and was like, sold. Sold. This would be, yeah, it's this one.
Boom.
Yeah,
even baby.
But it was the middle part, right?
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah, it was the middle part.
There is a most free.
Yeah, it was probably there.
Yeah, most played. Yeah, let's see. That's a good guess.
Yeah, it's right going in there.
Yeah, no, not me.
I couldn't do that if God himself was teaching me.
I mean, like, are you thinking numbers? Or are you just thinking memorization? Or are you thinking because you know the scale? Like, what the hell is going through your mind at
that point?
That's
a great question. What are you thinking about?
Yeah, it's basically chords. Like, I'm thinking chords and then just
arpeggiating the chords.
Arpeggiating the chords, yeah. And then, like, adapting some of those things. Because I've written this together with our drummer, Sebastian, and actually he sent me like a sketch of this thing, and he doesn't really play guitar, so I had to tap a few of those things and adapt it so that it sounds like it's supposed to sound.
That's badass.
Yeah, so yeah, I saw that was like the thing about
it. Yeah, he's all right. He's in.
Well, yeah, but it's not right. it's not just the shred. It's the fact that the classical influence in that, and the ability, the fact that it sounds like real playing. There's a bunch of factors, but like it, the way that he was getting around that note choice, and gotta like really point out Krim's great ear for sending me this exact video. Mm. But like our song No Rest No End, we were working on this middle section that is like this big Baroque part. That it's not as fast as this, but it's like, I guess, in a similar vein. Having someone that like understands classical music, Baroque music, that's I was not going to say a requirement, but something I was really, really hoping for. Mm-hmm. So hearing this, it was like, okay, that's legit. And you can really tell the difference between a guitar player that just learns like the neoclassical, like entry level shit. Like just the harmonic minor scale and diminished patterns and stuff, mm-hmm. versus someone that like actually understands the origins of where that style even comes from in classical music, and that's the latter is what I was looking for. Mm. So it's a rare find.
Yeah, yeah, you got the perfect band.
Yeah,
that's sick. Did we miss anything?
Well, we have a record coming out in May.
Okay. Date?
Yeah. No date.
Okay, so May.
Well, what is the date? There is a date.
But you should have a date before you do a podcast, right?
Well, I'm not allowed to say the date.
Oh,
or am I?
Shit.
Well, we're allowed to say that the record's coming out in May, but we haven't announced the date yet.
Let's just guess the date.
It's yes, May so 20th, it's a man. Friday in May.
May 35th.
It's a Friday in May, and there's a 1 in front of it. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Okay. Yeah, yeah, so it's probably would probably be the second Friday in May.
On Metal Blade?
Yeah. Huh? Metal Blade.
Sick.
Yep. It's called The Deceivers. In the lineage of the Hinderers and the Concealers. We don't count our self titled. you know how that is.
Me either.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, our self-title's a bit of a disaster, so we don't, we decided just forget about that one.
It's time for reissue, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's sick.
Yeah, so The Deceivers, it'll be out right at the beginning of May. The first single is going to be coming out right in March. Second single, April. And yeah.
Boom.
The thing is happening.
Well, it was an honor to hang out with the whole band. I know your schedule today is pretty fucking crazy. You probably be going straight to LA.
Yeah, we have like a 12-hour rehearsal right now.
Well, that's what you're.
It's fun.
Red Bull, so it's fine.
Yeah, that's right. Well, not anymore.
Red Bull coffee.
I'll get another one.
Sick. Well, where can people find you guys?
At AL Levy URM Audio, or I'd say find us on Instagram at Doth Official.
Okay.
Doth Official.
Yep, and it's all right there
yep.
to get all of us there.
Boom, sick.
I do make my own creams. That's what people always tell me. Sean's creams, but actually it's Sean Z screams.
Okay.
If you look at it. Okay. Yeah, I have an assortment of creams and tattoo lotions. I have a whole line developing.
Oh my goodness. Sean's creams.
Somebody said that to me and I've not been able to stop seeing it.
You're fucked.
I've never thought about Sean's creams.
I'm gonna cream, dude.
Sean's creams.
No. Lotions and tattoo creams. That's what we're gonna stick with.
Okay, that's fine. It's all positive.
Yeah.
Right, dude. Appreciate you guys. All right,
it's good.
Thanks, man. Dude, thanks for having us.
Anytime. That's it. Later.